Shabbos Chanukah, we recite the Torah from the Novi Zechariah, where the Novi is shown a dream. All the Nevi'im had the Nevuah b'Chalom, shows a dream by Irenaeus Yeshua HaKohen HaGadol, and he's a Hayol Levush Begodim Tzawim. He's wearing filthy clothing, and then the Malach gives instructions, Hasira HaBegodim HaTzayim Me'alov, HaHalbeisho Eschom HaKhalot Tzos. They should take off the dirty clothing and he should put on clean clothing. So the Medrash understands that this is an allusion to the fact that his children were intermarried during the 70 years of Golas Babel. The Jews in Eretz Yisrael assimilated, and they lost a lot of their religious observance, and then when they came back in the beginning of the Binyan Bayis Sheni, so Ezri gave a big Musa Shmuas that they should, those who are intermarried, should divorce their wives, and many people listen. So that's what the Nebuah is all about. Soloveitchik wants to explain in the name of Rab Chaim, his grandfather, that why was there more of an insistence regarding the Kohen Gadol as opposed to everybody else? There were many people who are intermarried. So he explained that the din is that on the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur has to say vidui three times. So the first time he says vidui, it says v'chiper ba'adol b'yad beisam. And the Mishnah says, the first Mishnah in Yuma says beisam zulishtai. And the second time he says vidui, it says v'chiper ba'adol b'yad beisam b'yad kolam ha'kohanim, I think. And the third time he says vidui, it's on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. So the first Mishnah says in Yuma that the Kohen Gadol has to be married. To be able to do the Avodah Yom Kippur, he has to be married. So we have a din that Zevach Rishayim Tayeva, that we don't, even though a Nochri is permitted to volunteer certain Korbanas, Korban Oilo, Korban Shlomim, a Nochri can volunteer, whatever is Bob Ben Edom and Adav, a Nochri can volunteer. But if Abi Yisrael Mumer, Yisrael who's clearly a Mumer, you can't say Mumer Dina Kakum. An Akum himself may bring korbanos. So this is worse. A Yisrael Mumer is worse than an Akum. So the Gemara learns out from the Pasuk, Adam Ikem Kiyakur Korban Hashem Ikem Elo Kulchem Lahotzi Yisrael Mumer. A Yisrael Mumer, we cannot accept korbanos. So what if the Kohen Gadol is married and his wife is a Mumeris? And he wanted to do the Avodah on Yom Kippur. So when he brings the Korbanos, if he brings a private Korban, he brings a Korban on behalf of Klal Yisrael, what does it bother me that the wife of the Kohen Gadol is a Mumeris? But if he's bringing the Korbanos of Yom Kippur, and he has to ask for forgiveness, of Chippa Bado Be'ad Beiso, in other words, the Korban is offered on behalf of the Kohen Gadol and on behalf of his wife. Beiso Zewishtoi, if the Eishes Kohen is going to be a Mumeris, so then the Korban cannot be accepted. That's the din of Zevach Rishayim Tayeva. So there is a question that's raised by the Mishnah Melech. Why do we only say Beis Zewishtoi? Maybe we should require that he should have children as well, the Kohen Gadol. So the Mishnah says no. The Mishnah says as long as the Kohen Gadol is married, even if he has no children yet. That's sufficient to be able to do the Avodah. But what if the Kohen Gadol is married, and he has Beis Zewishtoi, he has a wife, and he also has children? So then when he asks her Kapara, Bado, Biad Beiso, the minimum of Beiso is Ishto. But if he has more than Ishto, if he has children, so then when he's asking for the Kapara, Bado, Biad Beiso, he's asking for Kapara for the children as well. So they're all considered Balei HaKorban. So they would all be governed with the rule of Zevach Rishayim Tayeva. So if the Kohen Gadol is married and he has no children, so you only have to worry about the wife, she shouldn't be a Mumeris. If the Kohen Gadol, the minimum is that he has to be married. Kohen Gadol is married and he has a wife and he has children as well, so all the children that he has are included in Beiso. So if any one of the children will be a Mumer, then you have an issue of Zevach Rishayim Tayeva. So that's why there was a special problem regarding Yeshua HaKohen HaGadol. Hayolavush begodim tzoin, begodim is something separate from the body. It means he himself was a holy tzaddik. Yeshua Kohen Gadol at that time, the Kohen Gadol beginning of the Bayis Sheni period, was a holy tzaddik. But his children were intermarried. So a Jew who's intermarried is considered like a mumer, dina kakum. The practice used to be that if a Jewish man would marry a non-Jewish woman, the family would observe Shiva. That's considered like the equivalent of Shemad. So that's why there was a problem. This Kain Gadol is not going to last too long. When it comes Erev Yom Kippur, we're going to have to appoint a new Kain Gadol. So the nevuah that Zechariah shown is, it's going to be straightened out before Yom Kippur comes. They're going to put on clean clothing, means by the time it comes Kain Gadol, Yom Kippur, the children will no longer be married to the non-Jewish wives, and he'll be kosher to serve as Kain Gadol on Yom Kippur. Then he's told, "Koyam Hashem tzvakos in midrachay teilech." This is what Yeshua Kain Gadol is told in the Chaloyim, in the Mara Hanavua that Zechariah has. "In midrachay teilech, v'imis mishmati tishmar, v'gam atah tadinas b'isi, v'gam tishmas chatzeiroi, v'nasat elochom halchim bein ha'im dim ha'ela." What exactly are these instructions that he's supposed to do? "In midrachay teilech, v'imis mishmati tishmar, tadinas." Yeah, the Kain Gadol is supposed to be an observant Jew. Okay. Then he says, "V'gam tishmor es chatzei roi." What exactly does that mean? So you get the impression that it's the responsibility of the Kohen Gadol to supervise. He's supposed to be in charge of all the hakrobas, kol hakarbonos kulam. Not just when they need the Kohen Gadol. You only need the Kohen Gadol to actually do the avoda on Yom Kippur. Only avoda is Yom Kippur. It says in Chumash that if you have a par Kohen Gadol, let's say the Kohen Gadol was machal Shabbos, he doesn't bring a kizbo a sira like a normal Jew brings for a chatos. He has to bring a special chatos that's more expensive. So, or if you have a par halam dov shel tzibur, if the Bez Nagodol paskin an era that a certain isa koris is mutter, and Rav HaTzibur violates that din based on the psak, the mistaken psak of the Bez Nagodol, then instead of having each and every person bring a chatos kvua, you have the Bez Nagodol brings a par halam dov shel tzibur. So if you read in Chumash, in Parshas Vayikra, it sounds like the Kohen Gadol has to be makriv the par halam dov shel tzibur. And it sounds like that's what it says, the Kohen Gadol has to be makriv the par Kohen Gadol. So the Tosfos in Megillah, that's how Rashi writes. Rashi writes like that. So Tosfos in Megillah points out that that's not the halacha. Even though that's what it says in Chumash, that's not the halacha. The Torah's Kohanim, the Sifro, has a comment on that pasuk and says that it's just not so. That even though it says the avodah is done by Kain Gadol, it's labdavke, it can be done by Kain Hedyot also. The only time you require a Kain Gadol to actually do the avodah is on Yom Kippurim. And then you need a Kain Gadol to be the Baal HaKorban, means he has to pay for the Korban. The Korban is often on his behalf. But the Chavita Kain Gadol, that's brought every day. Machtzisa Baboiker, or Machtzisa Ben Abayim, it's a Minchas Chavitin. You have to be Mekadosh it all in the morning, the whole Shir, and you makriv half in the morning and half in the afternoon. So that the avoda, the hakrova of the chavita, Kain Gadol, the minchas chavita, can be done by Kain Hedyot. Just that the Kain Gadol has to pay for it, and he's the bala korban and sofer on his behalf. So basically, that's the only thing you need a Kain Gadol for. And everything else is done by Kain Hedyot. Who's supervising? Bez Nagodol. I would have said Bez Nagodol is in charge. Bez Nagodol has their offices in the Lishkas Hagazis. It's a din derais that Bez Nagodol is supposed to meet near the Mizbech. The end of Parshas Yisro speaks about the Mizbech Adom et Tassali. In the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim speaks about Ela Mishpatim Shatosim Lefneim. So Rashi quotes from the Mechilta, Loma Nismucha Parshas Mishpatim Le Parshas Mizbech Loim Alach, that you need a Bezin Samach La Mizbech. That's how we know that the Bezin HaGadol has to meet in the Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed to sit in the Azor, you're not allowed to sit, so they can only meet in the Har HaBayis. But they wanted to be closer. They wanted to make the Bez Nagodol, they should stand the whole morning. It's not fair. So you should make their office in the Harabai. Harabai is permitted to sit. The Ezes Noshim was never in the Kaddish B'Kedusha Sanzora because they wanted to give the women a break. They should be able to sit. The section where the men used to go was a chelik of the Azora. So the men were never allowed to sit. The men had to stand. Ein yeshiva ba'azora. It's a din. Shaila, what kind of a din is it? Is it a din deraisa, a din derabana? But there is such a din. Ein yeshiva bazara, ela lemalchei bez David belvad. So they always wanted to have the Bez Nagodol should be as close to the Mizbech as possible, but they can't be that close. The maximum they can be is in the Har HaBayis. So they made it better. They made the Bez Nagodol Met and the Baisheni, the Met and the Lishkas HaGozes, which was a big room. A Lishka means a cheder, which was Chetzia BaKodesh veChetzia BaChol. It doesn't mean Chol. It means Chetzia was in the Azor and Chetzia was in the Har HaBayis. So what's a din if you have a room that Chetzia BaKodesh, Chetzia BaChol? So the din is if it means on the floor, half of the floor was Niskadish B'Kedushas Azor, the other half was only Niskadish B'Kedushas Har HaBayis. So if it would have only had one entranceway, it would have only been one doorway to get in, so then the halacha would be nikva by the doorway. If it's pasuach lakodesh, if the only way to get into the room is by walking into the azora first and then walking into the lishkas lishkas hagozes, then the whole room would have been treated like kodesh. If the only shar, if the only way to get in would be from the Har HaBayis, there wouldn't be another entrance, then the whole thing would be treated like Har HaBayis. So the Mishnayos point down that the Lishkas HaGozes was Chetzia HaKodesh and Chetzia B'chol, and it had a two shorim. It had a shar from the Azora, and there was an entrance way to get in from the Har HaBayis. So therefore, that part that was Kodesh, that part of the floor that was Kodesh B'Kedushas Azora, had the status like inside, like in the Azora. So the Bez Nagodol couldn't sit there. They had to sit only in the Chetzia B'chol. What did they make such a complicated room for? Because they wanted to be as close to the Mizbeach as possible. So they wanted to meet in the Har HaBayis, they should be able to sit. But they wanted that the room in which they're meeting should be Chetzia B'Kodesh, it should be closer to the Mizbeach in a certain sense. Half of the room should be Kodesh B'Kedushas Hazor. So the Pashtus is that the Bez Nagodol is in charge of all HaKrovas HaKorbanos. That's why we mentioned a few times. The Gemara says, Kohanim Zrizim Hem. That you don't have to worry about the Kohanim making mistake in the Karbonis. Kohanim has reason. Why Kohanim such reason? So Rashi writes himself because they have the Bez Nagodol on their back to make sure that the Makar of the Karbonis in the proper fashion. So the Pashto says that it's a responsibility of the Bez Nagodol. Bez Nagodol is supervising everything that has to do with Klal Yisrael. They're the Supreme Court for Paskenik Shailas, but they're also supposed to take care of everything, supposed to represent Klal Yisrael. So this pasuk in the Nevuah of Zechariah seems to be telling us an added chiddush. Imis, again. Gam tishmor es chatzeroi sounds like it's the responsibility of the Kohen Gadol to supervise hakrovas kol hakorbanos, not just the responsibility of the Bez Nagodol. It's supposed to be the responsibility of the Kohen Gadol that he should take care of hakrovas kol hakorbanos. There seems to be a difference between Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Hedyot as far as Levishas Big Day Kohuna. The Kohen Gadol has to wear Shmoneh Begadim, of course, and the Kohen Hedyot wears Dalet Begadim, but there's another difference. The Rambam is of the opinion, the end of Hilchas Kilayim, that a Kohen Hedyot is only permitted to wear the Big Day Kohuna have Kilayim in the Avnet. The Avnet of a Kohen Hedyot has Kilayim. So the Rambam is of the opinion that you're only permitted to wear the Big Day Kohuna B'Shas Avodah. Shaloi b'shas avodah, there's no mitzvah to wear the big dekuna, and the mele, the kohen hedyot, would be in violation of the issur kilayim. And he only writes it regarding kohen hedyot. Regarding kohen gadol, kohen gadol has more big dekuna than a shatnas. Kohen hedyot only has kilayim in the avne. The kohen gadol has in a few begodim. So the Rambam seems pretty clear that he's not concerned about the kohen gadol wearing the shatnas and the big dekuna all day long. Even shaloi b'shas avodah, the kohen gadol doesn't have to do any avodah. So it would appear from the Rambam that it's considered by a Kohen Gadol, it's considered as if all day long Shas Avodah, because the Kohen Gadol, he's not supposed to do all the Avodah, but he's supposed to be supervising all the Avodah. So it's the Kohen Gadol is supposed to be in the Beis HaMikdash all day long. The Rambam has like that in Hilchas Klei HaMikdash, when he talks about the different Kelim, the Mizbeach and the Menorah and all the different Kelim, so he writes about the Kohanim and the Kohen Gadol and the Levim, also like as if they're furniture in the Beis HaMikdash. So he writes that Kvod of the Sefarto Shal HaKohen Gadol to be in the Beis HaMikdash all day long. That's supposed to be his response. What is he going to do? Sit and twiddle his thumb, do a crossword puzzle? No. It means Kvod of the Sefarto to be in the Beis HaMikdash all day long wearing the big day Kohen Gadol. and supervising the hakrovas hakarbonas. That's what he means. Gamata tishmar eschatzeirai. So that's why he's not bothered if the Kohen Gadol wears shatnas and the big day kuhuna gdoila all day long. That's not a problem. He's mekayim the mitzvah to be there all day long. The Kohen Hedya doesn't have a mitzvah to be all day long in big day kuhuna. Only b'shas avoda. When he's not doing avoda, he has no function. He doesn't have to be in the Beis Hamikdash. The Kohen Hedya has to take off the avnate immediately after upon finishing the avoda. The Kohen Gadol can be all day long. The Ravid asks on the Rambam, why is he only worried about the Kohen Hedyot, the Avnei? What about all the big day Kohen Gadol? So that's what the Noisei Kelim on the side of the Rambam, they point out. The Radvaz, I think, he says, from the Rambam would appear, and the Beis Halevi has like that in the Tshuvas, would appear the Rambam holds that the Kohen Gadol should wear the big day Kuna Gdolo all day long, despite the fact that he's stuck at wearing Kilayim. Then in the dream, Zechariah Novi visualizes the way the Malach tells the Kohen Gadol, Yeshua Kohen Gadol, v'nasate l'cho malchim bein ha'omdim ha'ela. I think the correct pronunciation is malchim. It really means mehalchim, but that's not the nikud is malchim. Okay, in grammar. But what does it mean, v'nasate l'cho malchim bein ha'omdim ha'ela? So the poshep shat is the omdim are the malochim. Tzerofim omdim imalo. The malochim are referred to as the omdim. And he's told that he's going to go places. So the Bali Musas say that the human beings are always a mahalach. The malachim ha'omdim, they don't have the ability to grow in stature. However, a malach is created in Hashemayim. There are different levels of malachim. The Rambam has 10 different levels of malachim in Yisraeliyat Torah. But however they're created, that's the way they stay. And human beings have the ability, not only have the ability, but they're always in a state of moving. Either they're moving up or they're moving down. Either you have an aliyah or you have a yerida. So that's what the Bali Musa always encouraged, that a person should work on himself to make sure that he improves his situation, that he has an aliyah as opposed to having a yerida. Then they speak about Hilni maybe is Abdi Tzemach. Who is Abdi Tzemach? So there's another pasuk here, the Mefarshim quote, Tzemach Shmoy Mitachtav Yitzmach. Tzemach Shmoy, the Rambam in the Geres Teiman speaks about the coming of Mashiach. There was a crackpot in Eretz Teiman who was trying to convince all the people that he was the Melech HaMashiach. So they sent a letter to the Rambam, the community of Teiman sent a letter to the Rambam who lived in Egypt. Was next door. So they asked the Rambam, what does he think? So the Rambam psychoanalyzes him long distance. He says, that's out of the question. The man can't be the Moshiach. He's encouraging the people to sin. What did he encourage the people to give away all of their money to charity? So the Rambam says, against the halacha, it's a Mishnah and Erechin, that you're not allowed to even donate to the Beis HaMikdash all of your money. You have to donate some, but not all. So certainly, tzedakah, it's not permissible to give away all of your money. So he says, this man is not... cannot qualify as the Melech HaMashiach. Melech HaMashiach is not going to convince us to go against the din. You have to follow the din. And then once the Rambam says that, this man is not Mashiach. And then he discusses who is going to be Mashiach. So he writes a lot. He has a lot of his overlap, a lot of the same as what he writes in the end of Hilchas Malachim, the last several prokem the Rambam writes about the coming of Mashiach. And then there's a lot that he has in the Igeris Teiman that doesn't appear in Hilchas Malachim. And there's a lot in Hilchas Malachim that doesn't appear in the Geres Teiman. But there are no contradictions. Just at each place he writes a picture of Melech HaMashiach. So part of what he writes in the Geres Teiman is, based on the Pasuk in Novi, Tzemach Shmoi, Mitach Tov Yitzmach, that the Melech HaMashiach will be an unknown figure at the time of his galus of the Melech HaMashiach. Mitach Tov Yitzmach, like the Yiddish expression, it kommt von unter der Erde, it comes from nowhere. So he says the Mashiach will be an unknown figure until the time that he will be in his gala. Then he says that his galus will be in Eretz Yisrael. And he quotes Pesukim from Novi. Anyway, but the reason why he's called Tzemach Shmo, is because it's going to be Mitach Tov Yitzmach. He'll be an unknown figure. That's why there's a prominent rabbi who has been prominent for many years, and his Hasidim think that he was the Mashiach. According to the Rambam, it doesn't appear that it's going to be an unknown figure. It's not going to be a very prominent, well-known person. a world famous person. It's supposed to be a person who was never known before. Anyway, it has to be a person who's a descendant from the Malchus Beis David. The Rambam also writes in the Pirush HaMishnayot, the end of Sanhedrin, he lists off what in his mind are the 13 Ikari HaMuna. So one of them is the Bias HaMashiach. So he writes that Mashiach will be a descendant from David HaMelech, from Shlomo HaMelech. That's an interesting statement. We don't know exactly what the source is. It must have some medrash somewhere. That David HaMelech had a lot of children. So the Rambam has some kind of a source. He thinks that the Melech HaMashiach will be a descendant Davke coming from Shlomo HaMelech as opposed to from the other children. Then the Mara HaNevuah he continues to say that in the process of building the Beis HaMikdash, and everybody's going to be supervising the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and everybody's going to be watching to make sure that everything is done al atzada yesetov. So the expression that the Navi uses is aleven achas shivu einoyim. We're going to be seven people watching every stone that's going to be built in the Beis HaMikdash. So there is in the literature of the Achrayim, one of the Achrayim has a tshuva. I forgot, maybe the Marival, I forgot already. One of the early Achrayim from the early 1500s has a tshuva. Is it permissible to use psukim in Tanakh as a melitza for a meaning other than what it really means? For example, I remember I was once in Europe for Sukkot, and Thursday Sukkot was on Monday, so they were advertising in the Jewish press, so they had such a newspaper there. The advertising that the people should come on Sunday, Erev Sukkot, to the swarm stores to buy the Dalet Minim. So they wrote, "Lakachton lachem b'yom harishon." Everyone should come shopping on Sunday. So that's not the Pashup Shat and the Pasuk. That means you should shake the Lulav and Esek on first day Sukkot. Doesn't mean you should buy Lulav and Esek on Sunday. So I remember one yeshiva bacha said it's kfira. It's apikursus, you're not allowed to say. And everyone else thought that it was a nice advertisement. A very cute gimmick. So there's a tshuva in the Achrayim from 600 years ago about this. So they say that it's mutter. Why? So they tell over this story that I think it was the Maribe Rav, if I'm not mistaken, the Rebbe of the Beis Yosef, I think he was blind on one eye. So he was once going on a hike with his Talmidim in the mountains, so they wanted to rest a little bit. So a whole bunch of them sat down on a big boulder. So they had three Talmidim, and the Rebbe sat down on one gigantic boulder. And the other Talmidim is sitting on other boulders or on the grass, whatever it happened to be. So one of the Talmidim asked the Maribe Rav, would he give him permission to say a joke? So he said, yes, he gives him permission. So he says, I see, aleven achas shivu einoyim. He sees three people had two eyes each, and the Rebbe had one eye. He was blind on one eye. So he sees sitting on one boulder, aleven achas shivu einoyim. So the Rebbe liked the joke. So the fact that he didn't protest and he didn't say that it's apikursus, so this later poisig brings a right from that it's permissible to use pesukim from the Tanakh as melitzas. Yeah, this story is recorded. I remember once someone asked me if I ever heard the story. So I said yes. They asked one of the big bikim in the New York area. They asked him, so he said, I never heard of this story. So his son asked me, did I ever hear this story? So I said, yes, I heard it from Rav Soloveitchik. He asked me, where does it say? I said, this the Rav didn't tell us. He just told over the story. So they looked on a Bar Ilan computer. So they found it, I think, in the Tshuva's Marival or something. And I think it was about the Maribe Rav, if I'm not mistaken. But that's the pasuk. And that's not what it means. It means that there are going to be many people supervising the placing of every stone and the building on the second Beis HaMikdash so that everything will be just so. Then the Navi Zachari continues to have the dream about the menorah. We already discussed it this week. About the beautiful menorah, the two olive trees and the olives are falling down and the 49 streams of oil. In each one of the cups on top of the menorah, there are seven cups, and each one of the cups has seven streams of oil flowing into it. These are the 49 streams, and he says he doesn't understand. And this gula al rosha, gula is the pool of olive oil. Everything is happening by itself, and he sees the two olive trees, and he doesn't understand what it's supposed to represent. Va'an va'emar la'malach adoy v'bi, said the Nabi Zechariah in his dream, asked the malach, mo eila adoni, what is it supposed to represent? So he tells him, "Haloya datam ahema elu." You know what it represents. The Rambam quotes this in the Mor Nevuchim, this chapter in Zechariah, to indicate the difference between Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu and Shar HaNevim. The Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was Aspekloria HaMeira, and Shar HaNevim was Aspekloria Sheina Meira. So to exaggerate, to show how the other Nevim were Eina Meira, so he quotes this passage from Zechariah that there's a debate back and forth between the Malach and the Navi, whether he does understand the Nevuah or he doesn't understand the Nevuah. But it's very, the Rambam on the other hand says that all of the Nevi'im understood fully the Nevuah. Otherwise you cannot imagine how was Avraham Avinu prepared to bring his son as a korban if it's aspeklorish and mir, everything is foggy. So he says they wouldn't walk away from the Nevuah before they would fully understand the Nevuah. But in receiving the Nevuah, so Moshe Rabbeinu was aspeklorish amir, he got direct dictation. And the others saw a chazon and a vision in a mare, and they had to interpret it. They had a chalom and they had to interpret it. But they wouldn't walk away without having the correct interpretation of the chalom. It's just that it wasn't direct dictation. Moshe Rabbeinu was kedabarish al reyeu. So the Malach tells Zechariah Hanavi, you know what they represent. So he says, lo Adoni, what is it? What are they fighting back and forth? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik explained, that the Malach explains to him later, in a few around 20, 30 psukim later, in Zechariah, that's already cut off from the Haftarah, the Malach explains that the two olive trees represent the Shnei B'nei HaYitzer, Hom Dim Lefnei Hashem. The Shnei B'nei HaYitzer are the Malchei Beis Dovid who get Meshicha B'Shem and Mishchas Kodesh, and the Kohen Gadol. So this represents a golden era. The Mara HaNevuah that he has represents a golden era of Kohuna Gedoyla, in Malchus Beis David, that everything is just wonderful and marvelous. So the Novi says, I don't understand. This cannot represent the Ba'i Sheni period because it just doesn't correspond to reality. There were no Malachim from the Malchus Beis David at all. The first couple hundred years of the Ba'i Sheni, there was no Jewish government at all. Tilach HaShmonayim. The HaShmonayim were Kohanim from Shevet Levi. They weren't from the Malchus Beis David. So they didn't have Meshicha B'Shem and Mishchas Kodesh. It would be a violation of Me'ilah Behegdish, the Gemara says. You only use Meshicha B'Shem and Mishchas Kodesh for Malchus Beis David Bilvad. And the Kohanim Gedolim also, they were only Merubi Begorim. The Shemin HaMishcha was Nigna Zadei Yoshiyo HaMelech at the end of the period of the Bais Rishon. And there were no Kohanim Meshuchim B'Shemin HaMishcha during the period of the Bais Sheni. The Mishnah has a discussion, let's say, the two people walking down the road and they bump into a Meis Mitzvah. So someone has to be Metapel in the Meis Mitzvah. There is no Chevik Kadisha. There's no cell phone to call up a Chevik Kadisha to take care of it. So either Reuben or Shimon, somebody has to take care of the Meis Mitzvah. So one is a Kohen. So let the non-Kohen take care of it, unless you need both of them. Unless the non-Kohen can't do it all on his own, then you need the Kohen also. But if one is a Kohen, one is a Yisrael, and one can take care of it, so you let Yisrael take care. What if one is a Kohen, one is a Kohen Gadol? So then the Mishnah says, let the Kohen Hedya take care of it, because the Kohen Gadol's din is most chomur than to get the Tumas Meis than the Kohen Hedya, because the Kohen Gadol is not even allowed to be Metameh to the Zayin Kraivim. He only has Heter to be Metami to the Meis Mitzvah. As opposed to the Kohen Hedyot, his din is a little more lenient. He's allowed to be Metami to all the Zayin Kraivim. Then the Mishnah has, what if you have a Kohen Gadol and a Nozir are both walking down the highway and they bump into a Meis Mitzvah? You only need one of them to take care of it. So whose Kedusha is greater, the Kedusha of the Nozir or the Kedusha of the Kohen Gadol? Both have the same din. They're not permitted to be Metami to Meisim even to the Zayin Kraivim. And both of them are permitted to be mitami to a meis mitzvah. So that's a machlekes ablezer nechachamim in the Mishnah. So ablezer's opinion is that what I forgot about who holds which way. The Yerushalmi tells you how to remember. Yerushalmi tells you that ablezer shamuti, or ablezer was from the Beis Shammai, so he went and he followed the Beis Shammai shita. There's a machlekes hatanaim in the Mishnah in the end of Brachas, later in the Masechta, in the next parak, in the eighth parak, whether you say Bar Piagofen first or you say Kiddush first, what's the Seder Hadvarim? So what's the Machlekes? So we follow Basila, you say first Bar Piagofen, then you say Kiddush. Why? Because Torah B'Sheina Torah, Torah Kodim. Bar Piagofen is all week long, and Kiddush is only once a week, Shabbos and Yontif. So Bar Piagofen comes first. And Beis Shammai is of the opinion that Mekudosh, Ve'ena Mekudosh. The Mishnah has both klolim. The Mishnah in Kol HaTadir, towards the end of Zvachim, and Daf Tzadik and Aleph. So the Mishnah has two klolim. One klal is Torah B'Shein and Torah Koidim. A kohen is standing in the Beis HaMikdosh, and two people come with karbanos. So one comes with a karban oila, and one comes with a achata. So karban oila is every day people come with a karban oila. You have many more oilas than you have achatos. So the Mishnah says the tarev shein the tarev kaim. The one that's more, the one that's brought more often, that's the one that you should be makri first. Then the Mishnah has a klal also mekudish veinu mekudish mekudish kaidim. Let's say one comes with a shlamim and one comes with an oila. So the oila is a kachi kadashim, the shlamim is a kachim kam. They're both tadir. People bring oilas and shlamim all year long. Every day people donate, they volunteer. But since the oila is more mekudish than the shlamim, so the kain is standing there should be makri first the oila, then be makri with the shlam. So the Gemara has a suffix and invite Leib Shita. What's the din if you had tadir versus mekudish? One carbon on the one hand, one carbon is tadir, much more tadir than the other one. On the other hand, the one that's less tadir is more mekudish than the first one. So which klal takes precedence? Tadir b'shein and tadir, or the klal of mekudish v'shein and mekudish? So in the Babli, it's in Ibai the Leib Shita. There's no resolution to the issue. So the Raman Pasan says, it's shiur to yagna. Since we don't have any rule over here, so it's optional, whatever you want. So the Rishalmi says, no, that this issue, this suffix that the Babli leaves as a by Leib Shita, Yerushalmi presents that that's totally, that's the machlekes b'sham and b'sil. What's the machlekes? Reciting Kiddush is a mitzvah in the Torah. Saying Bar Piragofen is only a mitzvah in the Rabbana. So the Birchas HaKiddush is more, Mekudush is much more important than the Birchas Bar Piragofen. Because Bar Piragofen is only the Rabbana, and Birchas HaKiddush is the Raisa. But on the other hand, Bar Piragofen you can recite all year long. In Kiddush you only recite on Shabbos. On the one hand, the Bar Piragofen is Tadir. On the other hand, Birchas HaKiddush is Mekudush. So which one do you say first? This is the Machlekes B'sham and B'sil. So B'sil hold that you say Bar Piagofen first, they hold that the Tadir takes Kedime over the Mekudush. And B'sham held, no, the Mekudush takes Kedime, takes precedence over the Tadir. So the Yushami says that that's what this Machlekes HaTanaim, Ablez and HaChacham, depends on. Why? Because the Kain Gadol is the Kain Gadol for the rest of his life. The Nazir is usually only a Nazir for 30 days, or for 2 months, or for a year or two, whatever, but he's not for the rest of his life. So on the one hand, and if the Nazir will become Nitma, he has to bring special Karbanis. He has to bring special Karbanis, Naziris Tumah. And then he has to start counting the Naziris all over again. If a Kohen becomes Nitma, there's no requirement that he has to bring special Karbanis. So on the one hand, the Kain Gadol, this machlek is that the Kain Gadol and the Nazir walk down the highway, which, and they bump into a base mitzvah, which one of them should be mitamit to the base mitzvah? So that's the machlek of Rabbeleza and the Chachamim. So Rabbeleza holds like the Beis Shammai. What do the Beis Shammai hold? What Mekudish takes precedence. So Rabbeleza holds that the Nazir is more Mekudish than the Kain Gadol. So let the Kain Gadol be mitamit. How do you see the Nazir is more Mekudish? Because if the Nazir becomes Nitma Lameis, even accidentally, he has to bring special korbanos. And the Chachamim disagree. They hold like the Beis Hillel. The Torah of Shena, Todah Mekudish, Torah takes precedence. So the Kain Gadol is the Torah. The Kain Gadol is going to be a Kain Gadol for the rest of his life. So that's the Machlokes. Then the same Mishnah discusses another Shaila. What if you have two Kohanim Gedolim walking down the street at the same time? There's no halacha that the Kain Gadol has to be the Chad Bedor. You can have five Kohanim Gedolim. It doesn't make sense. Why should they appoint five Kohanim Gedolim? But at some times they used to have many Kohanim Gedolim at the same time. Then the Kain Gadol, then he retires. Then they appoint another guy, he retires. Then they appoint a third guy, he retires. Then they have a fourth guy. You can have many times. So they had a Kain Gadol and punked an Erev Yom Kippur. He doesn't feel well. His tummy doesn't feel well. So you have to appoint another Kain Gadol. So you can't appoint a Kain Gadol for a day. Once you make him a Kain Gadol, he's a Kain Gadol for the rest of his life. So you have two Kohanim Gedolim functioning at the same time. The din is in the Mishnah in Makkos. If a Ritzach is in the Ori Miklot, but he has to wait till most Akainah Gadol. Any one of the Kohanim Gedolim dies, so the Ritzach goes home. There's a Machlekes HaTanaim. What if the Mashiach Muhammad dies? Mashiach Muhammad has a din, Chatzi Chatzi, has half a din like a Kohen Gadol, half a din like a Kohen Hedya. That's a Gemara towards the end of Yuma. The last parak in Yuma is all about the Hamisha Inuyim. And the first couple brought him in Yuma, all the other prakim are the first, well, the eight prakim in Yuma, I think. So the first seven prakim are about the dinim of Avodas Yom Kippurim. And the eighth parak is about the Inuyim. So the last daf in the last parak before the Hamisha Inuyim has all the dinim of Mashuach Muhammad. He says half his status like a Kain Gadol, half his status like a Kain Hedya. So Kain Mashuach Muhammad, that's a machlekes HaTanaim. In the Mishnah in Makkos, with his machzer is Haritzeach. But if you have five Kohanim Gedolim and any one of them dies, so the Ritzach goes home. he's potter. So the Mishnah has a machlekes hatanayim. What if you have two kohanim gedolim walking down the highway and they bump into a meis mitzvah? They're both kohanim gedolim. They both have exactly the same din. So only one of them has to be metame. So you flip a coin, whatever, however you'll determine. So what if one of them is Mashuach b'shem and amishcha, and one is a meruba begodim? One kohen gadol is a Mashuach b'shem and amishcha, and the other kohen gadol is a meruba begodim. Means Mashuach b'shem and amishcha. That was only once in the history of the world. The kohanim gedolim from the Bais Rishon period, before the days of Yoshiyahu HaMelech, they were all appointed kohanim gedolim al-day Mashiach. They were niskadosh al-day Mashiach. And then, after he was going as the Shemin HaMishcha, so you appointed a kohen gadol al-day meruba begodim. So it was possible at that one point in history that you can have two kohanim gedolim. You can always have many kohanim gedolim, but it was only possible at that one time in history you have two kohanim gedolim. One is a Mashuach b'Shemin HaMishcha, and one is a meruba begodim. So the Mishnah discusses this far-fetched, abstract halachic case. They're both walking on the highway. Which one should be metamei lameis? So the Mishnah says, no machlekes. The Mashuach b'Shemin HaMishcha has a stronger din of kohen gadol than the meruba begodim. Why? Because the Mishnah says, in the end of the first parak of Megillah, ein bein kohen Mashuach b'Shemin HaMishcha, the kohen hameruba begodim, ela par habo al kol ha-mitzvah. So there's a special din that the kohen gadol who is Mashuach b'Shemin HaMishcha has more of a din of kohen gadol than the meruba begodim. So therefore, since his din kohen gadol is stronger, so let the other one be metamei lameis. If they bump into a meis mitzvah. Exactly what does the Mishnah mean? Ein bein kohen Mashuach b'shem and mishcha v'kohen meruba begodim ala par habal kol ha-mitzvahs. So that's the machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. So Rashi says par habal kol ha-mitzvahs refers to par halab novish al tzibur, and the pasuk says in Parshas Vayikra that it has to be, the avodah has to be done by the kohen gadol. So Rashi claims it has to, number one, has to be done by kohen gadol. That's what it says in Chumash. And number two, the kohen gadol who does the avodah has to be a mashuach b'shem and amishcha. It can't be a meruba begodim. Taisa says the whole thing is wrong. Taisa says the avodah does not have to be done by kohen gadol. Even though that's what it sounds like it says in the Chumash, Taisa quotes the Taras Kadam, says explicitly, those psukim are to be taken lav dafke. When it says the par kohen gadol, when the kohen gadol is mechal shabbos b'shege, so it says he has to bring the par kohen gadol. Par halam davashel tibit says the kohen gadol does the avodah. So the Torah Kanim says that they're both lav davke. You don't need a kohen gadol to do the avodah. You only need an yom kippur. All year long, you never need a kohen gadol to do any avodah. So how do you read the Mishnah? Par bala kalam mitzvah says no. The din of par kohen mashiach. If the kohen gadol is machal shabbos b'shege, that he has to, instead of bringing a kizbo asira, he has to bring davke a par. So that only applies if he is a mashuach b'shem and amishcha. If he's a meruba begodim, so that special parsha doesn't apply. He's miskapa because bo sira. You treat him like a hedyon, like a plain person. You don't treat him like a kohen gadol. So that's what the Navi Zechariah is asking the Malach, who's presenting the whole nevuah to him in his dream. What do you mean? You're showing me the period of the Bayisheni that is going to be such a wonderful period of kuna gedoyla and Malchus Beis David. It doesn't correspond to reality. There was no Malchus Beis David. There was no Malchus until 200 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni. Then the Merid HaChashmonaim. Then the HaChashmonaim established the Malchus of Kohanim. And it wasn't from Malchus Beis David. Malchus Beis David from Shevet Yehuda. And the Kohanim Gedolim were not Mashuach B'Shem and Amishcha. The whole Tkuchas Bayis Sheni, starting from Yoshiyahu HaMelech, that was the end of the Bayis Rishon, till the whole Tkufa Bayis Sheni. There were only Merubei Begodim. There was no Kohen Gadol who was Mashuach B'Shem and HaMishcha. So that's what Zechariah now he says to the Malach HaDoiver, but what are you showing me an image of the Bayis Sheni? Such a wonderful period of Kuna Gadol and Malchus. There isn't going to be any Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha. The two olive trees are supposed to represent, that's what the Malach tells him in a dream. Shnei b'nei ha-yitzo ha-omdim lefnei Hashem. The two olive men. The two olive men are the Kohen Gadol and the Melech and the Malchus Beis David. There was no Malchus Beis David in Bayis Sheni. There was no Mashuach B'Shem and HaMishcha. So that's what he tells him. He answers, Lo b'chel v'lo b'chel kim b'ruchi. Very obscure answer. We don't know what the answer means. So that's Rab Chaim interpreted. Lo b'chel v'lo b'choyach. I'm not showing you the Tkufas Bayis Sheni. I'm showing you the Tkufas Bayis HaShlishi. I said, what does it help? But he's giving him each one of the three Nevi'im Chag Zecham Halacha. Each one that was given a nevuah, chazak, that it's wonderful, even though they're very upset now, at the time they're building the Bayis Sheni, they should realize something marvelous, something wonderful. So he doesn't understand what he means. What do you mean Chazak? The Bayis Sheni, there isn't going to be any Kunig David. There isn't going to be any Malchus Beis David. And it's not going to be a glorious era of Jewish history. There was Machloikis with the Tzdukim from day number one. All along there was Machloikis. What are they showing him? So that's what the Malach explains. No, I'm showing you the vision of the Bayis HaShlishi, which is going to be Hemshech of the Bayis HaSheni. The Bayis Rishon was destroyed. So the Pasuk says, Oru Oru Ad HaYisayit, but the whole Bayis Rishon was destroyed. There was nothing left. The Bayis Sheni was not considered a Hemshech of the Bayis HaRishon. In fact, some of the Rishonim write on the Gemara and Moed Katan. The Navi Yecheskel talks about Dinim. When they'll come back from Golis Bavel, they'll rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. He talks about some of the Dinim. So one of the Dinim he says is that a Kohen has to bring a Minchas Chinuch. Any Kohen, before he does Avoda, has to bring what we call a Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch is the name of a Sefer. Yeah. The commentary on the Sefer Chinuch. But it's a Korban that was brought by a Kohen before he wants to offer any Korbanos. What would be the Din if a Kohen would offer Korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash? He would do Avoda without having first brought the Minchas Chinuch. So there's a question whether the Avoda will be kosher or not. A machlokes harishonim. It's a machlokes harishonim what the girs is. It depends on two readings in the Toras Kanim. Toras Kanim raises the issue and gives a clear-cut psak, very clear-cut psak, either yes or no, but we're not sure what the girs is, whether it said yes or it said no. So if the rishonim have the girs said that it's possible. If a Kohen does Avoida without first having brought the Minchas Chinuch, it'll be possible by the Evan. The other gear says that it's kosher by the Evan, the Shalom. But there certainly is that the Kohen has to bring a Minchas Chinuch. So some of the Rishonim, I think the Rabbi Nichil Paris, has a running commentary on Maseches Moed Katan. So he comments on the Gemara, that Gemara quotes the Pasuk from Yecheskel, that when they rebuild the Beis HaMikdosh, they'll have to bring a Minchas Chinuch. So he says what it means is, if you have a Kohen who's 90 years old, he was 20 years old, he was bringing Karbonas in the Bayis Rishon, and then he lost his job. They destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. So the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed for 70 years. Now he's going to come back and buy Sheni. He wants to do Avodah. Does he have to bring another Minchas Chinuch or not? I brought a Minchas Chinuch 70 years ago. 75 years ago I brought a Minchas Chinuch when I was 15 years old. Do I have to bring another Minchas Chinuch? So he interprets in the Psukim, he interprets the Rabbeinu Chilmi Paris, interprets in the Gemara Moed Katan that the Gemara is interpreting the Pshat in the Navi Yecheskel. Yes, he has to bring a Minchas Chinuch because the Bayis Sheni was not a Hemshech of the Bayis Rishon. You brought a Minchas Chinuch in the Bayis Rishon, that was good for the Tkuchas Bayis Rishon. Now we're building a Bayis Sheni, you got to bring another Minchas Chinuch. What if you have a Kohen who's 2,000 years old? He brought a Minchas Chinuch in the Bayis Sheni, and then he's going to live so long they should build the Bayis HaShlishi. Will he have to bring another Minchas Chinuch? So it could be that not. The Navi is saying, I don't know if we'll have anybody who's over 2,000 years old. But it could be that not, because even theoretically, because that's what the Navi is telling, the Malach is telling the Navi, that the Bayis Sheni, when it was destroyed, was not totally destroyed. There's going to be a Hemshech into the Bayis HaShlishi. Why? So he's told, Lo b'chayel v'lo b'chayel kim beruchi. What does that mean? So Rab Chaim quotes the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBchira Perek Vav, where the Rambam distinguishes between the Kedusha Rishon of Eretz Yisrael as opposed to the Kedusha Shniyah. The Kedusha Rishon of Eretz Yisrael was accomplished through Kibush V'chiluk, the Sheva Shekopshu, the Sheva Shechilku. The Chaluk is necessary to make it a complete Kibush. So really the Kibush is what's Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael. As opposed to the Kedusha Shniyah of Eretz Yisrael, in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, that was not Ayyid Kibush V'chiluk. There was no Kibush at all. There was no army. There was no government. There was nothing. The Jews just moved into Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam draws the contrast, so he says that the Kedusha Rishayna was created in Perek Vav and Beis HaBchira. He says the Kedusha Rishayna of Eretz Yisrael was brought about through Kibush, so it was undone through Kibush. So when the land was lost to the Babylonian armies, when they lost the whole Kibush of Eretz Yisrael, so the whole Kedusha disappeared. As opposed to the Kedusha Shniyah in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, it wasn't Ayyidei Kibush, it wasn't undone Ayyidei Kibush. It was Ayidei Chazoka, the Jews just moved in. So Rab Chaim thought that that's perhaps what the Novi is telling over here. Lo b'chayel v'lo b'choyach, the Kedusha Shniyah was not Ayidei Kibush, ki'im beruchi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Masha Shchinosai. So therefore, the Kedusha Shniyah will not be bottled. So this is the Novi's explanation. This is what the Malach is explaining to the Novi. The Kedusha Rishon of Eretz Yisrael was Ayidei Chayel v'koyach, so that's why it was undone. So that's why the Bayis Sheini was not a Hemshech of the Bayis HaRishon. But the Kedusha Shni was Lebechav Lebech Hakim Beruchi. So the Rambam says that's why it was not undone. That's why the Kedusha Shni is Kitchelosi Lavoi. So therefore we can envision that the Bayis HaShlishi will be a Hemshech of the Bayis HaSheini. So the Mara HaNevuah that is showing Zechariah HaNovi is really a reference to the Bayis HaShlishi, not to the Bayis HaSheini. So why should he be happy now? What's Chazak? Chazak? What is it? Why should he be so happy now? No, because the building of the Bayis HaSheini is a Haskhala for the Bayis HaShlishi. That's how the pasuk concludes. V'hotius leben harosha. So the simple pshat v'hotius leben harosha is Mara HaNevuah. He's laying the cornerstone of the Bayis HaSheini. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested to add on to the explanation that his grandfather said, Rav Chaim, maybe v'hotius leben harosha means that the whole building of the Bayis HaSheini was like a cornerstone for the Bayis HaShlishi. Not that he put the cornerstone for the Bayis HaSheini. Maybe the building of the Bayis HaSheini was like considered the Hanochas HaYisayid, the Eben HaYisayid, for the Bayis HaShlishi. They printed this Biur of Rav Chaim. Different people printed it. So they quoted, Rav Velvela found it a little difficult. Rav Velvela Soloveitchik was bothered with the problem. How do you distinguish and say that the Bayis HaShlishi will be a Hemshech of the Bayis HaSheini, as opposed to the Bayis HaSheini, which was not a Hemshech of the Bayis Rishon, based on Lebechav Lebechav. But the Rambam himself there, in that Perek, writes that the Kedusha's Beis HaMikdosh was never Batla. When Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdosh, it was ready Kitcha Losi Lovet. They didn't have to be Mekadosh. The Gemara has the Machlekes, where the Kedusha Rishayna of Eretz Yisrael was Kitcha Losi Lovet or not, where the Kedusha's Beis HaMikdosh was Kitcha Losi Lovet. In the days of Ezra, when they built the second Beis HaMikdosh, so the Psukim say in Tanakh that they made Chanukas HaBayis. They were Mekadosh the Bayis HaSheini all over again. So the Gemara Shavuos, the end of the first parak has a machloikas amaroyim. Was that really mikar adin because the kedushas hamikdash, the Bayis Rishon, was bottled? Now had to be the mikdash everything all over again, so they needed a Chanukas Bayis HaSheini mikar adin? Or was it only just an imitation Chanukas HaBayis? They really didn't need a Chanukas HaBayis. The makam of the mikdash was kitcha losi lovah. So the Gemara always makes it totally zebizet. The Gemara always puts it together whether kedushas haoretz was bottled or not. Kedusha Rishayna was Batla, where the Kedusha HaMikdash was Batla. So the Rambam splits between the two. The Rambam says Kedusha HaMikdash was Le Batla. And Shlomo HaMelech built the first base HaMikdash, so he was Mekadosh Yerushalayim, is the Mokam HaMikdash, Losi Lovoi. And the Kedusha HaSaretz was Batla. The Tosfos in Megillah, Daf Yud, quotes the Rabbeinu Tam, also splits between the two, also in the same direction. Shaykh to say that the Kedusha HaMikdash remains, even though the Kedusha HaSaretz was Batla. An interesting idea. The Kedushas HaMikdash remains even though Kedushas HaOretz is Batla, so you have a base HaMikdash in Chutz HaOretz. Not so inconceivable. The Mishkan. The Mishkan was a base HaMikdash in Chutz HaOretz. Not so inconceivable. So the Rambam and the Rabbeinu Tam both say this, and the Rabbeinu Tam and Tosfos in Megillah Daf Yud says like that, and the Rambam says Beferish like that in Perek Vav and Beis HaBchira, that Kedushas HaOretz was Batla in the 7 years of Golas Bavel, and the Kedushas HaMikdash remained. The Ravid writes the reverse direction. The Ravid there in Perek Vav Beis HaBchira writes he can imagine the reverse, that Kedusha Shni of Eretz Yisrael was Kitcha Losi Lovos. Eretz Yisrael still has Kedusha, is Manazer, but the Migdash was Batla. The Ravid thinks that Kedusha HaMigdash was Batla. What motivates the Ravid to say that the Kedusha HaMigdash was Batla? So he tells you what. He says the Psukim say in Tanakh that the Bayis HaShlishi is going to have such a higher level of Kedusha. How can it exceed the level of Kedusha, whatever, according to the Rambam, that when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he was Mekadosh Et Losi Lovoi. So whatever level of Kedusha it had in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, that's the level of Kedusha it's going to have in the days of Losi Lovoi when Mashiach comes. How can the Pesukim and Tanakh say it's going to be a higher level of Kedusha? So the Ravid says, Behechreach, you have to say that the Kedusha HaMikdash was Batla. The Kedusha was only L'shaita. And the Kedusha HaMikdash was Batla, and then what they'll be Mekadosh it anew, when the third base HaMikdash will be built, they'll endow it with a higher level of Kedusha. That's what the Ravid writes. Why was it Batla? Why should you assume it's Batla? So the Ravid says they knew in advance. Yodeo haya Ezra shasad habayis lehe chorev. He says Ezra knew in advance that the Bayis HaSheini was going to be chorev. So when he was, and he wanted that the Bayis HaShlishi should be the highest level of Kedusha, so when he was Mekadosh the Bayis HaSheini, he was only Mekadosh et Lizman. Only Mekadosh et Lizman, like in Eretz Yisrael, when they have a person who needs a respirator. So they put him on a respirator on the Shabbos clock, only for 24 hours. So then after 24 hours, if it's worth extending his life, so they put on the Shabbos clock another 24 hours. And if it's not, they don't want to kill him, be a dying. They don't want to take someone off the respirator. They just don't do anything. So the Shabbos clock is off. So he says, the rabbi writes, they're discussing introducing this in America and the hospitals as well. Because in America, a lot of times they put a guy in a respirator, then the doctors decide it's not worth, we're not getting anywhere. So they take him off the respirator. So they're actually killing the patient. So so the doctors are starting to become a little concerned about that. So in Eretz Yisrael, they already solved the problem many years ago. They put him on a Shabbos clock. No, we have a Shabbos clock. You put him on the respirator on a Shabbos clock for 24 hours. Then at the end of 24 hours, you'll decide if you want to just let him drop dead. So don't do anything. If you want him to live longer, put on the respirator another Shabbos clock, another 24 hours. You'll decide later what to do. So the rabbi writes, when they built Yodei Ohai Ezra, the rabbi writes, when Ezra built the second Beis HaMikdash, they knew from day number one, it's also Lehecharev. How did they know? The Gemara says in Yuma, the end of the first parak, that they knew from the days of Shlomo HaMelech. They knew from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu that the first bias was going to be Charev. That's what the Psukim say, the Netziv points out. In the Chumash, it doesn't really say it explicitly, but it says it in the Novi Yecheskel, and it says in Tehillim, that on the occasion of the Chet HaMeraglim, they were told that because of the Chet HaMeraglim, when they'll go into Eretz Yisrael and they'll build the Beis HaMikdash, it's going to be Chorev and they'll be sent into Golos. So they knew when they built it, when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he knew that the first Beis HaMikdash was going to be Chorev. He knew it already from the days of the Meraglim. That's what the Gemara says, the Chet HaMeraglim was on Tisha B'Av and the Churban Beis HaMikdash was on Tisha B'Av. Means on the occasion of the Chet HaMeraglim, they were told already by Moshe Rabbeinu that the Beis HaMikdash that they will be building in Eretz Yisrael is also at Lehei Chorev. The Netziv interprets it in the Pasuk in Chumash as well. The Pasuk says in Parsha Shlach, when the Meraglim came back, so the Ribbono Shel Olam said, Chai Yonah V'imolech Vodiyas Kol Ha'aretz. So he interprets that's what it means. V'imolech Vodiyas Kol Ha'aretz. I will send all the Bnei Yisrael into Golos Arba Kampas Ha'aretz. V'imolech Vodiyas Kol Ha'aretz. When the Jews will be sent into Golos, that'll be V'imolech Vodiyas Kol Ha'aretz. But in the Chumash, it's not explicit. That's the Netziv's interpretation. But the Netziv there quotes the Psukim in Yecheskel and in Tehillim, where it says explicitly that on the occasion of the Chet HaMeraglim, they were told in advance. So then when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he knew that it was Osed Lehechorev. So he said, Benevur, regarding the second Beis HaMikdash, will that be the everlasting Beis HaMikdash? Will that also be destroyed? So Shlomo HaMelech composed Shir HaShirim Beruach HaKodesh. So he said, Im Chaymehi Nivna Lehaturas Kesev Im Delisi, not so Allah halu achores. So the Gemara has an interpretation of that pasuk. Im chaymahi, if after the 70 years of Golas Bavel, yalu kachaymo, all the Bnei Yisrael will come back to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild Eretz Yisrael, to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. Im chaymahi, nivna lehatir es kesef. Then the second Beis Hamikdash will be like a metal structure. Ve'ein harekev ma kesef, ein harekev sholid bo. A metal building doesn't rot away. Af Baisheni will not be destroyed, but im Delasi Natsu Alu Lo Achores. If Dalasam, if hardly anybody will show up, won't be Yalu Kachem. Yalu Kachem means all the Bnei Yisrael will return. If it will be Dalasam, Ashvach Aliyah, the Ruba of the Jews did not come back at the time that they built the second Beis Hamikdash. Then it says Natsu Alu Achores. Then the second Beis Hamikdash will be like a wooden hut. Ma Eres Arekim Sholed Bo. Af Baisheni, the Rekim will be Sholed Bo. So, Lemaisa, after the 7 years of Golas Bavel, when they came back to Eretz Yisrael, hardly anybody showed up. So that's what the rabbi writes. Yodei Ohai Ezra Shasad Abayis Lehechorev. He knew the Bayis Sheni was going to be destroyed because of the Nevuah, because of the Ruach HaKodesh that Shlomo HaMelech said. That if hardly anybody shows up, it's going to be Rekab Shalom, but it's going to be destroyed. So that's what the rabbi writes, that when Ezra and Nechemi built the second Beis HaMikdash, they built it only with a Kedusha Lizman. So we're up until the time of the Churban. After the Churban, the Kedusha should disappear. It's interesting that he holds that you can do such a thing. You don't say the Kedusha lo epoka v'chdi. There's this whole sugi in Adorim, a famous sugi in Adorim. A man is mekadosh anisha. He says, Hare mekadosh esli for a month. So what do you say at the end of the month? The Kedusha is poka. If I sell you my house for a month, I sell you the house that should belong to you for a month, and after the month it should go back to me. So after the month it goes back to me. Or let's say I give you a kinyan in the house as long as you live, and after you live, it shouldn't go be Yerusha to Yerusha Yerushim, it should go to Pliny, and after he dies, it shouldn't go to his Yerushim, it should go to Pliny. So the Gemara says, whatever I say goes. I make a Kenyan Lizman, so you have a Kenyan Lizman, Kozman that you live. Then it goes to Pliny. Pliny keeps the Kozman that he lives, and the Taka doesn't go be Yerusha. But the Gemara says, if you Mekadosh an Isha, so then the Gemara has this cloud Kiddushin, like Paka Bichdi. Kiddusha Isha is not Paka by itself, and the Gemara puts it together with the Din. The Kedusha of Karbonis is not Paka Bichdi. Let's say a man says, Shorza Oila Kol Lamed Yom. So what happens if the Lamed Yom is up? So it becomes, so if you makrif it in the middle of the 30 days, it's Korib as an Oila. What happens if you didn't bother to be makrif it within 30 days? So the Gemara says, no, it remains an Oila Li Oilam Voet. Because Kedusha Zaguf is like Paka Bichdi. Kedusha Zdamim can be Paka Bichdi. But Kedusha Zaguf cannot be Paka Bichdi. So that's a Chiddush in the Raivit. The Raivit says, when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Hamikdash, first Beis Hamikdash, he knew it was also Lehechori. So he built it Melechatchila, only being Mekadosh et Lizman, Kozman that it will be standing. And Yodeo HaYezer Shosad Abayis HaSheni Lehechori. So when Ezra built the second Beis Hamikdash, it was only Mekadosh et Lizman. Other Rishonim who agree with the Rebbe, the Ramban and Shavuos agrees with the Rebbe. He holds that the Kedusha Hamikdash is a Botla. But he doesn't say for this reason. He doesn't say because they were only Mikadashit Lizman. That's a very fluky time. That Kedushas HaMikdush is Poka Bichdi. He says, no, based on the Pasuk in Navi, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and Dafnun Beis, quotes a Pasuk from the Navi, Bo'oba Pritzim Mechilaluhu, when the Nochrim came into the Beis HaMikdush, and they used everything for purposes of Chol, so that canceled the Kedushas Beis HaMikdush. So that's how the Ramban writes, that not only the Gemara says it about the Avne Mizbeach. Avne Mizbeach Sheshiktzum Anse Yovan. The Anse Yovan used it. The Chashmonoi made a new Mizbeach. That's what we say in Moasur. No? They made a new Mizbeach. The Gemara says they had to build a new Mizbeach because the old Mizbeach was used for Avodah Zarah. Had to make a new menorah because the old menorah was used for Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, so what? What mean use for Avodah Zarah? Ein anamos adov v'sheinu shaloi. How are they the balabatim to use it for Avodah Zarah? To say that it's possible that you can no longer use it for Lashamayim? So the Gemara says, no, it's a pasuk in Navi. Bo ba pritzim chilulu. When the pritzim come and they use it for divrei chol, that cancels the kedusha. So the Gemara says, bo ba pritzim chilulu on the menorah, on the mizbeach, and on the kesh. There was in the Beis Hamikdash, there was a treasure of money that had kedusha segdusha. When the Nochrim used it for Avodah Zarah, for secular purposes, everything was Yotzei L'chulin, and there's no longer any Iser of Me'ila. But the Ramban is adding it, the Boba Pitzim Mechilu, he says it goes on that geographic location, not only on the Chefze, on the stones of the Mizbeach, Avne Mizbeach, Sheshiktzim Anse Yovan, and on the menorah that was defiled the use for Avodah Zarah, and on the Matbeis of the Beis HaMikdash, the Ramban says it on the Kedushas HaMokoyim, and that latitude and longitude, that spot on the globe, had a Kedusha Beis HaMikdash, he says that it was loy kitcha losi lova, not like the Ravid says that there were only Mekadoshit Lizman. There's no such thing as Mekadoshit Lizman. Kedusha Zaguf loy Paka Bichdi. The Ramban writes in the Chidushim, it's because Boba Pritzim Mechilalu. It's a different word, in Gansan a different word. And we can understand why others disagree with the Ramban. Boba Pritzim Mechilalu in the Gemara only goes on a Chefza Shal Hegdush, an object, doesn't go on a location, and the Kedusha Smokam is Paka. Anyway, this is a very important haftarah. In the parsha, you have parshas vayik, parshas mikates. I think we spoke this week, no, about the parsha. It says vayigalach vayichalef simloy sof. So the Rishonim asked the kasha. According to the tradition of the Gemara, Yosef was freed from the Beis Hasurim on Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara has a medrash that the Ovis observed Kol HaTorah Kula Ad Shelo Nitna. So the Rishonim Abadah B'Lakasha, how did he take a haircut? How did he shave on Rosh Hashanah? So the Chasam Sofer in his drush, it says he doesn't see what's the kasha. Volunteering to observe Rosh Hashanah, that's a Midas Chasidus. When a prisoner has long hair and a long beard and he looks filthy, he's dirty, and he goes to visit the king's palace, so that's a real din. You have to show kavod hamalchus. And whenever there's a conflict between a real din and a midas chasidus, of course the real din takes precedence. That's the Chasam Sofer says like that. That's a big issue. A lot of times people don't realize that they're so hung up on chumras. Shlomo Zalman has like this. Let's say I have relatives in Eretz Yisrael, and they rely on Het HaMechira. So they have vegetables at home that they're eating based on Het HaMechira. And I want to be machmer. I don't want to rely on Het HaMechira. What do you mean you want to be machmer? That what? What do you want to be machmer for? So one chumra you can observe is mishumer, that if you lock your field and you don't let anybody take, you don't make it hefker, you don't let anybody take it. So the Rabbi Natam on the last daf in Yevamos, there's a tesis where they quote the Rabbi Natam. There's an obscure line in the Gemara there. So Rabbi Natam interprets min hazikahem. So he interprets hazika means that they locked vayaskeho vayisaklevo. They locked their fences and they didn't let anybody take the peiros. So that's mishumer. So Rabbi Natam interprets the Gemara. He interprets the Taras Kohanim in the Sifra that you're not allowed to eat mishumer. If they're a peiros that they grew during Shnas HaShmita, and the farmer was supposed to be mafker them, and he was not mafker. He locked the gates, he didn't let anybody take it, so there's a din that you're not allowed to eat those peiros. So that's the shaila now. Those who rely on Het HaMechira, so they don't let anybody, they don't make the field hefker. They sell it to a nochri, and they say there's no din of shviyas b'shel nochri. So the, according to those who don't hold from the Het HaMechira, so there's a problem on Meshumah. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, Mikir Adin, the Chazanish says that we paskin against the Rabbein Atam. Rav Rishonim don't hold like the Rabbein Atam. So those who want to not eat Perish Shviyas because they're concerned that there's Meshumer, so it's a Midas Chasidus. So you want to observe a Midas Chasidus, and then you're, let's say, the Bacham are learning in the Yeshiva. And then they go home for Shabbos. So they're going to make the parents crazy. Parents are not religious enough for their children. The parents are eating Perish Shviyas, and the children don't want it because it's Meshumer. Or you want to go visit your relatives. You have to hurt their feelings. You have to insult your parents because you want to do Amidas Chasidus. So Shlomo Zalman says you're not allowed to do that. Or the other concern that people have, that it's Nevad. The Mishnah says that if a farmer planted a tree during Shnas HaShmita, there's a penalty with the Rabbanan, Yeyoker, you're supposed to rip it out. And what if they didn't rip it out? What if they planted Perishvias and it grew and now they're selling the Peris in the market? Is there a penalty with the Rabbanan that you're not allowed to eat the Peris? Nevad. The farmer did avoida b'shnas hashem. He violated the nisa deraisa. Not talking b'zman hazeh, talking shviz b'zman hazeh is only the rabbanon. Talking even when it's shviz would be deraisa. What's a din if the farmer violated all the laws of avoida sakarka and then he has the produce? Is there a din that you're not allowed to eat it? So the Ramban and the Talmid Ramban hold that the psak is you're not allowed to eat it based on Gemaras. And we don't pass like that. The Chazanish says we pass the mikra din against it, like the Rambam. That never is mutter. There's a penalty on the farmer. Whatever the farmer planted, he's supposed to yank out. The farmer's not listening to our penalty. He relies on the Het HaMechira. He holds that he has a heter. So he's not listening to the chumash. So the shaila is there a penalty that you're not allowed to eat never? So mikar adin chazanish paskins that never is mutter. There are those who have machmer like the Ramban. The Ramban holds never is aser. So but mikar adin we paskin mutter. So is it proper to observe amidas chasidus? To be machmer nevad at the expense of hurting your parents' feelings or hurting relatives' feelings and tell them, sorry, I can't eat with you, your food is not kosher. So Shlomo Zalman says, you're not allowed to do that. That's not proper. That's based on this. You don't observe Amidas Chasidus whenever you'll be in violation of a real din. You have to weigh what are the imbalance over here, what's one thing against the other. I think we mentioned this week about the. About the Shuman Agid, no. He spoke about the Shuman Agid and the Korban Pesach. No. He didn't talk about it. There's a thing when you broil the Korban Pesach, you have to broil Rosh HaKrov Al-Kir, but you have to broil the whole Korban Pesach all together. So the Rambam writes that before you broil the Korban Pesach, first you shecht it, then you have to take out the chalav and burn it on the Mizbeach. Then there are other chalavim that you don't burn on the Mizbeach. There's chalav that's awesome in the Rabbans. You have to cut out the chute ha-chalav. If you broil the Korban Pesach with the Chutei HaChelev, it'll make everything treif. So you have to cut out Chutei HaChelev. Then you have to cut out Chutei HaDam. Usually, either you salt meat and you get out the blood, then you can cook it, or you broil the meat and you get out the dam. Yeah, but if you have big salting the meat, gets out the blood from the little capillaries. It doesn't take out the blood from the arteries, from the veins. So the big arteries and the big veins, you have to yank out. And the capillaries are that. Either you do Malicha and then you can cook it, or you do Tzliya. So the Rambam says, before you broil the Korban Pesach, you have to take out the chalev and burn on the Mizbeach. Then you take out the chutei chalev that are awesome in the Rabbanon, because if you broil it first and make everything treif, and take out the chutei adam, that the dam won't get out, are you day tzliya. The dam won't get out in Adarabba. If you do tzliil, you make the whole carbon pesach treif. It'll be boleh the dam in the big chuti adam and the big veins in the arteries. And after you remove the chuti chedam and the chuti dam, then you broil the whole carbon pesach intact. And after you broil the carbon pesach, then you cut out the gid anosh. So the Rebbe writes, if I would be there in the Beis Hamikdash, and this guy, the Rambam, this guy would bring this carbon pesach, I would take it and throw it on the floor and tell him, Hayisi zarka lefano, chof to befano bekarka, and tell me you're not allowed to eat the carbon pesach, he just made a treif. He broiled the carbon pesach with the gid anosha, the whole thing is treif. So why did the Rambam taka say he broiled with the gid anosha? He says he take out the chut chelev and the chut dam, that it should make everything treif. So why doesn't he require you have to take out the gid anosha? So the case of Mishnah comes to defend the Rambam. So he says that we pass can end begid midayis and tam. That gid anosha doesn't make anything else treif. So it doesn't make sense a normal person should broil meat with the gid anosha and then rely later he's going to take out the gid anosha. He really take out before. But here there's a mitzvah to broil the korban pesach intact. So you broil it the way it is and you leave in the gid anosha, you cut out the gid anosha later. But then the case of Mishnah is bothered with a kasha. But in addition to the gid anosha, that's awesome in Atar, you have the shuman hagid on top of the gid, that's awesome in the Rabbanon. And then shuman is yesh bo midayis and tam. The shuman hagid is going to make everything treif. So how can you broil the carbon pesach with the shuman hagid? The whole carbon pesach is going to become treif. So the Kes Mishneh, to answer that question, has the following suggestion. The Loshan HaGemara in Perikid Anosha is that the Shuman HaGid is Mutam in HaTaira, and the Gemara doesn't theorize, the Gemara doesn't finish off the sentence and say, but it's awesome, the Rabban. The Gemara says, Mutam in HaTaira, Yisrael Kidoshim, the holy Jewish people, no Gobo Isim. So he says, they never asked it mid the Rabban. Shuman HaGid is not awesome in HaTaira, not awesome in Rabban. It's only awesome in Tam Minig. Yisrael Kidoshim, no Gobo Isim. So he says, since it's only a Minig, so here, when the minig is in conflict with the real din, the din is Rosh al Krov al Kirboy, have to broil the Korban Pesach intact as much as possible. On the other hand, you're going to broil the Korban Pesach with the Shuman Agid, it's going to make everything Osir Mitam Minig because of the Shuman Agid. So the minig is in conflict with the real din, so the Kas Mishnah says that's what the Rambam is saying. You have to observe the real din, you have to observe the real din to broil the Korban Pesach with the Shuman Agid, not to cut it out. So he says, in effect, what the Rambam is saying is that the minig, not to eat Shuman HaGid, is only observed 353 days a year. And one day a year, everybody eats Shuman HaGid on the Korban Pesach. Why? Because there, the observance of the minig would be in contradiction to the real din. There's a real din, Rosh Al Krov Al Kibbe, you have to boil the whole Korban Pesach altogether. So you can't observe your minig that you have all year long not to eat Shuman HaGid. You have to violate it. Most of it will be violated. After you'll boil the Korban Pesach, so you won't eat the Shuman HaGid. Okay, so you leave it out. But it's not going to help too much. The tam of the Shuman HaGid will be nispashit into the rest of the Korban Pesach. So that's the Kesef Mishnah's commentary on the Rambam that Rav Gustman has a Sefer on Kiddushin. So at the end of the Sefer, he has a Tshuva Halacha L'maisa about a couple who are having trouble having children. And the reason why they can't have children is because the woman's fertility cycle is such that because of chumris that are not minatora, because of chumris that sometimes are only a minig, so the woman is unable to go to mikveh at the time that she's able to conceive. So if it's, he says, based on this Kesef Mishnah, piri v'rivi is a real mitzvah minatora, and some of the chumris and hilchas nida just minhagim. So if it's a minig that's in conflict with a real din, so you have to observe the din and violate the minig. You don't tell a guy, go divorce your wife, marry someone else. That's also not right. You're not supposed to divorce your wife unless you have a good cause. So over here, if it's a minig that's preventing you from having children, so that's Rav Gusman's tshuva. So you see, if in this case, a Mishnah, you have to observe the din and violate the minig. So that's based on, this is the Chasam Sefer on this pasuk. By Galach, that it was Rosh Hashanah, and he shaved anyway because Kvod Malchus is a real din, and volunteering to observe Rosh Hashanah Kodesh Matar is only a Midas Chassidus.
Reb Shimon.
What's the story about Reb Shimon? Oh, Nunu. There's a famous comment that Rashi quotes on the Medrash on the Pasuk Loma Tisra'u. So Rashi quotes the Medrash that Bnei Yankov had enough food. They didn't really have to go down to Mitzrayim to get food. They had another month or two worth of food. But Yaakov Avinu said, "Lama Tisro, Lama Tara Atz Nachem Lifnei Bnei Yishmael Lifnei Bnei Esav." that we have. You don't have to poke at the eyes of the neighbors. Rabbi Chana Vassman has a whole essay. He points out that the Jewish people always violated that din. They always violated the din of Lama Tisro. You have the pasuk later in Chumash, Rabbi Chana quotes about Pnu Sulochem Tzafono. So the Medrash interprets Hatzpinu Atzmechem. If you have wealth and the neighbors don't have wealth, so you don't have to show off that you have wealth. You go through Borough Park and Flatbush to have these homes. They look like mansions, like palaces, and you look, the whole front is a window. You see the chandeliers with the Shabbos table, with everything. It takes out the eyes of the Nachar. So that's what Yaakov Avinu said, Lama Tisro, you shouldn't lead a life like that.
Is that only where the Nachar aren't wealthy? Or is it in any case?
No, it means if the Jews have and the Nachum don't have, then Lama Tisro. The Nachum also have. Everybody lives that style. Okay, so there's no din of Lama Tisro. Maybe it's still, maybe it's not right, but it's not this puzzle. Lama Tisro is a different thing. Then when they're negotiating with the father, so Reuven says, "It'll be my responsibility. Let me be responsible for Binyamin. Shnei banai tomis. Malo avi yenu elecha. You should kill my two sons." What kind of a lashon is that? So the Medrash has the expression that Reuben was a b'chor sheita. Yeah, but the Bamish doesn't make any sense at all. What do you mean a b'chor sheita? It's ridiculous. What do you mean shnei banai tamis? He should kill his two sons because he doesn't bring back Binyamin. So some of the Rishonim interpret shnei banai tamis means that the b'chor is normally entitled to pishnayim. So he says I'll be mevater on my pishnayim. If I don't bring back Binyamin, I'll be mevater on my pishnayim. Shnei banai tamis doesn't mean you should kill my two sons. That's utterly ridiculous. And Yaakov Avinu still says that that's foolishness. But when Yehuda said, Anochi Erevenu, so then he was prepared to go along. What does it mean, Anochi Erevenu? So in the morning, the end of Baba Basu, the last Mishnah talks about the dinim of Orev. There are three kinds of Orev. There's an Orev Stam, and there's an Orev Kablan, and there's an Orev Shlov Dots. So there's an Orev Stam. Someone borrows money from someone else. And I'm the cosigner. What does the cosigner mean? If he doesn't pay the money, you can come to me. So then the Mishnah has a din, ain't go him in Horev Tchilo. If it's time to collect and the loiva doesn't pay, so first you have to try to collect from the loiva. And if the loiva doesn't have any assets, so then you have a right to collect from the Orif. Then there's a second kind of Orif, is an Orif Kablon. He says, lend the money to Reuven, and I'll serve as an Orif. You have a right either to go to me or to go to him. Equal. You don't have to try to go first to the loiva, you can go to me. That's called an Orev Kablon. Then there's a third kind of an Orev who's called Orev Shlov Dots. Orev Shlov Dots means, I say, do me a favor, lend him $100, and don't bother him. When it comes time, only collect from me, don't collect from him. So it means basically, I'm the loiver. He's not the loiver at all. The way to do the halva to me is by giving the money to him. So his receiving the money should be considered as if I received the money. You should only be able to collect from me. You can't collect from him at all. That's a different kind of an Orev. So what kind of an Orev is Yehuda volunteering? The Gemara there says, how do you know there's a din of Orev? Maybe the Orev is not serious. Maybe the Orev just meant to encourage the Malva to do a good deed, to lend the money to the Loiva. The Gemara says, in fact, an Orev for a Ksuba only meant to do a good deed. Someone is encouraging a boy to marry a girl and give a Ksuba. He says, I can't afford to marry the girl. It's too expensive. So he says, I'll be the Orev. If you can't pay the ksuba, if it turns out in the end you got to pay, if you can pay the ksuba, so I'll be the orif of the ksuba. So the Gemara says a lot of times the din is that an orif of the ksuba, it's an umdina that he didn't really mean, and he just meant to encourage them to get married. The Gemara raised the question, maybe every orif is only a chves and asmachta lokanya. He never really meant it. He really thought, did I really think, I'm going to agree to be a cosigner, someone else is borrowing $25,000 from the bank, I'm the cosigner. What do you mean? I want to give $25,000? No, I thought for sure the lawyer is going to pay. It didn't occur to me the lawyer is not going to pay. If I would have known the lawyer is not going to pay, I would never have agreed to serve as this cosigner. So we paskin nonetheless, even though there's what to argue, even though one should have argued the point and said that the orif who is mishtabit is really an asmachta, asmachta lokanya. He thought that it's never going to happen. Nonetheless, the Gemara says that the orif is chayv. So the Gemara has to show a mocker from Tanakh that it's binding. So the Gemara first thinks the pasuk from Yehuda, Anochi Erevenu, you see that he's an Orev. So then the Gemara says that's not a good case of Orev. So the Gemara says, why? Because it's an Orev Kablon. That's the Girus of Sagoinim. It's an Orev Kablon. So the Gemara says, no, it's a different marker in Mishli. It says, "Emarafta l'reyecho takaita lazar kapecho." The kashta b'imreipicha. If he served as a cosigner, it's your own fault, and you got to pay and learn your lesson and never do it again. Never serve as a cosigner. It's a whole perik in the beginning of Mishlei, one of the early program of Mishlei. "Emarafta l'reyecho takaita lazar kapecho." The kashta b'imreipicha. You got to pay. So you see that there's an institution of order. What did the Gemara say over here? That Yehuda became an Orif Kablon. That's the Girsa Sagan. How did he become an Orif Kablon? Wasn't he a Loiva? He was a Loiva. He said, "You give me Yehuda, give me Binyamin, and I'll return him later." So he's a Loiva on Binyamin. What does it have to do with an Orif at all? He says, "Anochi Yervenim Yodi Tavakshem." What does the Gemara say, an Orif Kablon? What do the words mean? So the Netziv has a whole fantastic explanation in his commentary on the Shiltas, on this Pasuk. Yaakov Avinu was concerned because Rahu Asain. He's afraid to let Binyamin go on the trip, lest an accident will happen. An accident can happen at home also. The whole house can collapse and Binyamin can get killed at home. Why does he think going on the highway something's going to happen? So the Gemara says, because Kol Adroch Mecheska Sakana, Vasata Mekatrek Meshasa Sakana. If Binyamin is going to be traveling on the highway, there's more of a chance that the Satan will be mekatreg on him as opposed to him being at home. He was afraid of Asain, an accident. Accidents can happen at home also, but it's more likely that an accident will occur traveling on the highway because Kol Adroch Mecheska Sakana, Vasata Mekatreg Beshasa Sakana. So what was Yaakov Avinu concerned of? Asatan Mekatreg, he was concerned that maybe Binyamin did an Avera which will deserve Misa B'dei Shamayim, a Sotam Mekatre. That's in fact what the Gemara says. The Gemara has in Elon Iris, the third parak in Ksubas, Machloikas Abai V'Rava. If one would have held like the Tana, what the Gemara has on Machloikas Atanayim by Kamble V'Dirabine, well, only Misa Patas from Mammon or even Koris Patas from Mammon. So the Gemara says, Delo, what's the name of the Tana? Forgot. Who? Chunya Ben Akona is the Tana who says that Koris also patas from Mammon. So we don't paskin like him, but according to Rav Nechunya Merakana, that Koris patas from Mammon, so there's Machlekes Abai V'Rava, where the Misa B'dei Shemayim would also patas from Mammon. So one of the two, I forgot, either Abai V'Rava, one of them says, here it's called Asam B'Karahu Asam, here you're talking about Misa B'dei Shemayim. And it says, Im lo yasam and asata nefesh tachas nefesh, the word Asam appears in Parshas Mishpatim in the context of Kamla B'Dirabmineh. So you have Xerushava, us and us sign, that even Misa B'dei Shamayim also patas from Mammon. So you see the Gemara's understanding with Karahu Asain means that Yaakov Avinu is concerned that maybe Binyamin will be punished with a Misa B'dei Shamayim. That's what it means, Hasatam Mekatrek B'Shas HaSakana. The Satan will be Mekatrek that Binyamin did an Avera for which he possibly deserves Misa B'dei Shamayim. That's what Yaakov was concerned about. So Yehuda volunteers, Anochi Erevenu, I'll be an Oriv. What do you mean an Oriv? That the Sotan should first come to collect the Misa B'dei Shemayim from Binyamin. So Binyamin is going to be dead. So he's never going to collect from Yehuda. So Yehuda says, no, I'll be an Orif Kaplan. If the Sotan comes to collect the Misa B'dei Shemayim from Binyamin because he deserves a punishment, so I'll say, I'll volunteer. Take my life instead of Binyamin's life. We don't understand how can such a thing, it doesn't make any sense. What do you mean? The Sotan comes to punish a person for his Avera. So a tzaddik who's not guilty will say, take my life instead of his life. The Satan's going to listen. I don't know, but that's how the Gaonim interpreted. The Gemara says he can't learn out the din of Ori from Yehuda and Nochi Avenu because maybe Yehuda was an Orif Kablon. Means he was volunteering to serve as an Orif Kablon on behalf of Binyamin, that the Satan should take his life instead of taking the life of Binyamin. That's how the Gemara understood the story. It's a very interesting understanding, a very interesting interpretation. We learned Bava Kama last year, so there was a Machlekes HaTanayim, where the Shechita Shein Ruya Shema Shechita Alav Shema Shechita means HaShechet Es HaTreifa, and you can't eat it. HaShechet Lavadizar, and you can't eat it. HaShechet B'Shabbos. So Shechita Shein Ruya, if you shech the Behemah, you're not allowed to eat it. But the Shechita is Matam Midei Nevela. It was a Kosher Shechita. So is it called Shema Shechita B'Negeh Tu Kisei Adam? Is it Shema Shechita B'Negeh Tu Osevi Es Beno? Is it Shema Shechita B'Negeh Tu Dechiv Dalev Hei? So that's a Machlekes HaTanayim. And Rebbe makes a compromise. Rebbe Yehuda Nasi is the author of, editor of the Mishnayos. He made a compromise that Benegeh to Kisei Adam has to be Asher Yeochel, has to be Shechita Haruya. Benegeh to the other two When you get to Chiyav Dalad Behem, when you get to Osva, but no, even a Shechita Sheni Bri is also good. So the Tanu who insists that Shechita Sheni Bri alav Shma Shechita, where does he get it from? So the Gemara says he learns it out in the Pasuk, Utvayach Tebach Ve'Hachin, when the brothers came to Egypt, and then Yosef tells Asher Al-Besa, he tells the people in the home, that they should prepare a meal. So he says, Utvayach Tebach Ve'Hachin, shech the animal properly, and show them that you're shechting it, that they'll eat, otherwise they won't eat the non-kosher meat, they won't eat the velum. He knows his brothers only eat geshacht in the flesh. So the Gemara says the whole idea of shechting was a trech tevach v'achet should be a shechita haruya. So the Gemara says the one Tana who's of the opinion that shechita sheni ruya lav shmo shechita and call it arkuva is because he learns it out in this pasuk. A trech tevach v'achet or tvach ha-mechoro. By Dalet Dehei, it's only called tvachai if it's like a trech tevach v'achet, a shechita ksheira. If it'll be a shechita sheni ruya, it'll be asa v'achila. So that's lav shmo shechita. Yeah, but we don't pask like that. We only pass when we get to Kisei Adam, like Rebbe's compromise, like the Mishnah. We only pass when we get to Kisei Adam, we pass when that Shechita Sheni Bri is Lav Shma Shechita. Okay, the speaker for this Shabbos is a very fascinating lecture. Whoever's here, I would recommend you pay attention to his talk. Very knowledgeable fellow. Good. Good to have again, everybody. I'm giving a shiur at 1 o'clock for the smicha today instead of next week on the dinim of Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael. So whoever is interested is down the hall.